हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhagavad Bhakti Sandarbha Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, description of the Bhakti Yoga process. You only missed like 3 pages. Page 32. Riti. The next verse elucidates on the removal of anartas from the heart of a person who sincerely adheres to the devotional process of constant hearing, chanting, and remembering the glories of the Supreme Lord.
7 pages.
Oh. Half a page a day.
So. I think the rest of the one is less.
Yes?
Yes, it's think so.
When I come back, everything will be clear and you explained it in easier words.
Yeah. Just now coming. Anucheta 12. Sringatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hridyanta sto hyabhadrani vidhunoti suritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17. Gudriti, Srila Prabhupada. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It is difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord Himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 purport. The Lord entering by the topics and remaining in the thoughts antashtaha destroys unwanted desires, abhadrani. So here is that you have the aspect that Krishna on the material platform, then he's fulfilling the desires of the living entity depending upon their work. It means the whole thing's always going to be a reciprocal thing because you have the aspect of freedom. So that freedom then on the material platform is how much you deal properly with Krishna's rules, right? Material laws. How nicely you deal with those. Then accordingly, Krishna then reciprocates by giving you those facilities. So Krishna is very kind, the living entity wants to enjoy in a particular way or have certain facilities. Then if they follow the proper work, then they'll get it. You know, so it's open. Then you have, when the devotee then here, then in that very insincere way, then is trying to take shelter of the Lord and give up the material desires, then Krishna then he then reciprocates by removing those desires and giving you facility to continue in the process of hearing and chanting. Right? So it depends on your effort, your work. Right? The living entity is expanding from the Samvit potency. So the Samvit potency is the one where there's a dynamic action is there. Ladini is going to be the experience, and the Sandini is going to be the environment, the facilities that are there. So the actual action itself is controlled by the Samvit potency. So, makes sense. So it's natural then the living entities, so the jivas, having expanded from there, they need to make the effort. Right? Because otherwise, what's the point? That's where they're from. You know, if they're from the point of knowledge and action, so then why wouldn't they, they're either, you know, how you say, egress or regress or, you know, whatever, they're moving forward or moving back, be dependent upon their action and their knowledge. So if they have knowledge about Krishna and they make endeavor in that way, naturally they'll move forward, Krishna will give that facility. And if they're not interested in Krishna and make their effort not like that, then they'll move away from Krishna. So the free will is always there. Sometimes the idea comes up, well, why doesn't Krishna make us do this and that? Because then where's the free will? Then you're just doing it because you're made to, you're supposed to. Right? And so in the material, you do your action, you get the result afterwards. Right? It's not simultaneous. Does that make sense? That's what I mean. It's not when you go to push your button on the television to watch some, you know, some karmic program that simultaneously that the lightning bolt, you know, hits the television. You know.
Comes late.
Yeah, it comes after. when the bill shows up, right? Or when the local thieves steal it, you know, like that. Yeah. Yes.
And now it makes sense why in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that we cannot remain inactive even for a moment, because we are from this knowledge and inactivity background, so we have to be active.
We have to be active. We're always active. That's what we do. We're active. The other energies that, you know, how they work and all that, that's another thing. That's their business. But we assist either in the internal or in the external. Because the external potency is also pastimes of the Lord. So we take part, but it's, he himself personally is not involved. It's just his potencies are there. They work in a particular way because it's a reflection. You follow the reflection, it works. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, myself, I go to grab something. Right? So now in the mirror, the hand in the mirror is also grabbing that same thing. So the whole point is I can't say is that in the spiritual world it works in one way, in the material world it's we do it a different way. Because sometimes you hear us say, oh, Prabhupada's in the spiritual world, you know, we have our own way we do things here. Or as we mentioned before, Hamilton, you know, one of the American founding fathers, and you know, that was propounding the philosophy. You know, God's created the place, but then he's given it to us to do something with it. You know, he's not involved. So then this idea is that, you know, and we do it how we see it needs to be done. It's a modern time. We have to do things according to modern times, and to, you know, it's important in that way, we think. But in actuality, the laws here are the same as the laws there. But just there, they're naturally spontaneously manifesting in the context of Krishna's pastimes and, you know, his pleasure. So in other words, him being rasa, then what he desires will be the best. So what's manifest in the spiritual world then is the best. That is the way you do things. You know, so in the spiritual world, you take a bath, you know, you sit in some place where it can handle the water, and water is poured on your head. It doesn't shoot up from the bottom. You know, it's not that here it's a shower, and in the spiritual world it's a bidet. No, it doesn't work like that. You know, there you put water on your head and then it goes down your body. Then here it's the same thing. It's just, are you doing it in the context of service to Krishna, or are you doing it simply for yourself? That's the choice. Right? If you follow the laws of how you should take a bath, you know, then you know, you'll get further opportunity for that. And then if you follow that because this is, you know, the laws that are given in Shastra, and so therefore it's my duty to follow them, then you'll get a better position, you know, better arrangement for bath and better arrangement for the water and that. You know, like that. And if you don't, at least you follow the technique, then it'll continue. But you don't follow the technique, then things will disappear from there. You don't take a bath. Like, you know, how many dogs take a bath? You know, it's up to them, will they ever take a bath? No. It means you see him sitting in the sewer, you know, with his water in it in the middle of summer because it's hot, you know, halfway in and like that. But you can't exactly call that taking a bath. You know, I don't think that would count in the way of purification. Right? So, don't let that end. That's so many, you know, but basically most of the, I mean, fish, they're constantly taking a bath. But, you know, I'm not sure that that counts because they're still very stinky. You know, amazingly enough, they're constantly taking a bath, but they're stinky. So that's why sometimes you take a bath, not all the time. Right, you know, only so many times a day, and then you won't be stinky. So if you don't take a bath, you'll be stinky, and if you only take a bath, you'll be stinky. So
cats take bath.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's also counted amongst the
spit bath.
Yeah,
recommended in Shastra.
Yeah. It's not.
It's popular with moms with their kids.
Yeah, of course, you like that. And I guess a bird bath would be your French bath, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they get their wings out and they go like this, because that's the whole thing, you know, you're supposed to wash under your arms, wash your face, and the French standard, that's a bath, you know.
Unless it's not in Shingle, then you're not allowed on that.
Sorry?
Unless it's not in Shingle, then you're not allowed on that, this type of. But it's not auspicious.
Oh, yeah, well, that's just, you know, he's transcendental. Yes, cats do that and stuff like that. But around here, then, yeah, it doesn't have the same auspiciousness. I mean, it's considered auspicious for the cubs. You know, they are very happy and very absorbed and everything like that. And so then. Yeah, so the whole point is being a reflection, the laws are the same. It's just there they're controlled by yogamaya, spontaneous refreshness pleasure. And here, then they're controlled by mahamaya to give an opportunity for the living entities to be engaged. But at the same time, those being engaged, there's no real benefit for the soul. Because unless the soul is connected to Krishna, there's no benefit for the soul. Like the karma is eating food, there's no benefit for the soul. Nothing. But you eat prasad, now that's beneficial to the soul, and the body's taken care of. So, in other words, it doesn't have the full, you know, any real benefit. So in here, then, when you have that point because it says here, the benefactor of the truth of the devotee, then he cleanses material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who's developed the urge to hear his messages. Right? So themselves, they are virtuous. Right? On the material platform, any other knowledge, any other action is not virtuous on its own. It doesn't have a virtue. It's just dead matter. You know? Does that make sense? You know, there's no theme that, you know, a whole room full of zombies are, you know, doing something important and useful. Right? It's never depicted. Right? Because technically they're dead. No? Yeah. So, there's nothing that goes on that's great. You know?
Eating brains isn't useful.
No, because they don't become any smarter. So it's like you would think, okay, eat the brains, at least it gets them smart. No, they don't even get that. I mean, it's only that one guy somehow or another, he was appreciated the state of being dead, right? So sort of dead and loving it. Yeah, so, but otherwise, then it's not, that's so virtuous, because sometimes it's thought, oh, mundane morality is virtuous in its own. No. Like that, mundane wealth. So it has no benefit. The soul gets zero benefit from any of it. Right? So that's the thing, it has nothing to do with the soul's being engaged in devotional service and having that commitment to and surrender to Krishna and his service. And it has nothing to do with it. Just because there's a pious background, then otherwise why is it that, you know, Lord Chaitanya is saving the most fallen first? Otherwise, if we went by, if you're pious and it's good, wouldn't then all the very pious, most pious people be the ones joining? You know what I'm saying? Prabhupada said before, not, you know, now is another, that when Prabhupada was here, he was saying that Queen Elizabeth was the most pious woman on the planet. She had the greatest influence, the greatest wealth, and this and that. I think after that, at some point, that she started paying tax, and then it wasn't quite as less pious. Her piety was running out. So, you know, so she would have been the first devotee, right? But no. Right? All the other pious people, they would have been first. No. So that's the whole point, is it doesn't depend upon that. So, because it has nothing for the soul. We value it, so we, from the mundane platform, so we say, it inspires me. But it inspires your mind, your senses, your body. It doesn't inspire the soul. You know, because you can't say the soul's inspired when it takes up further mundane activity. That's not real inspiration. So, here is that it's virtuous on its own. The mundane, nothing is virtuous, nothing is of any value. Only when it's connected to Krishna, then it takes on a value. Right? You can say, well, the scriptures talk about this. That's the whole point. The scriptures come from Krishna. That's where it comes from. It's because these rules are connected to Krishna. That gives them their virtue. But if you don't use them in connection to Krishna, isn't that a bit of a waste? You know, you have first-class ingredients and cook wonderful preparations, but don't offer it to Krishna. But the ingredients came from Krishna. The principle of cooking comes from Krishna. All it comes from Krishna. But that's why Krishna says he is everything. Everything's in me, but I'm not in it. Right? Because him as a person, he's expanded. They're separated energies. So he's not there. But at the same time, being his energy is non-different, so he can appear anywhere. But that's because he wants to. But otherwise, we see material energy, it's separated energy, we don't see Krishna. Though it's Krishna's energy. So the devotees see that it's Krishna, because it's his energy. So then they remember Krishna, and then they get that reciprocation from Krishna. So here he cleanses the desire for material enjoyment, because the one to go is, we think it's the sin has to go, but the actual sin is the material desire. We take it that the reaction to karma, that's what is to be cleared. And when that's cleared, then I'll be a good devotee. No. It's when the desire for material enjoyment is given up. That's when it becomes good for the devotee. Otherwise, why does removing bad karma, or the result of bad karma, how does that benefit the soul? It just means that, yes.
In the matter of devotion, this is explained as the seed of sin. Mm. So you get devotional service destroys the sinful actions, also the seed of sin, which is the sinful desire,
yes,
in general, and also destroys avidya, the primordial evil.
Oh yeah, that's clear. Right, avidya. Because that's the thing, is that the seed is there because there's the avidya. So the real thing is, as the avidya goes down, then these seeds go away. And he gives the example, either soaking them in water permanently, they won't grow, or roasting them in a pan, you know, whichever you prefer, you know, like that, you know. You know, you prefer more kind of, it's like, dim sum? Mm. Like that, some prefer the steamed ones, some prefer the fried ones. So it's, you know, whichever you appreciate.
I especially appreciate that word properly there, because when we approach Shastra with the instead of properly hearing and chanting it, but interpreting it in a certain way to suit our needs, it tends to not give that same result.
Yes, yes, because that's the thing. Properly means according to Krishna's standards. So being, objective means it has to be according to Krishna. We take it objective means it's anybody's opinion. No, objective means it's Krishna's. Because there is only one opinion, that's Krishna's. Everything else is connected to that, subject to that. It's, you can say it's everything's relative. Yes, everything's relative to Krishna. But we take it's relative to each other, that's mundane. That's very dangerous. But when it's relative to Krishna, then it's uplifting. Then you see it in its proper thing. So, yes, the point of relativity, but it's there, but you have to see is that relativity in its context of Krishna. Like that. This mundane approach, it's all relative, you know, Prabhupada according to Shastra, Shastra according to Prabhupada. They're making it, the whole point is it sounds okay, but it's about the relativity. So therefore, you know, then you just take what you like. Well, Prabhupada's a modernist, so he would interpret Shastra according to that. You know, but at the same time as then, you know, Shastra has these things, then you can see Prabhupada, you know, where he fits in. But then on the modern platform, you know, then there's a limitation because, you know, Prabhupada didn't understand the importance to the, first world, Western personality, the importance of shorts and a t-shirt, you know. He didn't understand that. Therefore, he brought in all this foreign, very unnecessary, you know, bed sheets and all these kind of things. So it's just, you know, there's a perfect system, right? You know, it's already going on perfectly, and you know, isn't it? Isn't that the kind of home? You know, everything that coming out of California is perfect and complete, and you know.
Well, they're living California now.
Yeah, but then you could say as Californians are perfect and complete, so when they come out of California, even when they go to Texas, they will still act, talk, and vote and think like a Californian. They made it into a mess, then they leave. It's just like I remember seeing in the school, you'd have these boys. They would never take care of their bed. They wouldn't fix it, they wouldn't wash it, they wouldn't nothing. You know, they just used it. But in the day, when they wanted to take a nap, they would never take a nap on their bed. They'd find the nicest, cleanest, well-neatest bed and take a nap there. And I asked one day, why you have your own bed? Why are you sleeping on this bed? Says, this one's nice. So why don't you make yours nice? You understand? So that's the thing. You make your place a mess, and then you go to another place because it's nice. And when it becomes a mess, and you can say, but it'll become a mess. And it says, yeah, then we'll move to another state. You know, it's just, you know.
Now we're moving to the Mars. We're moving to the Mars.
Mars, yes, yes. Yes, we can move to the Mars. It's funny that they don't move. There's more water than there is there. Why don't they move under the ocean? Because at least, you know, you can get some air out of the water and there's fish.
It becomes stinky.
Yeah, but what gas is on Mars? Who's going to say you're not going to be stinky there? Are people going to be taking, you know, full on showers and jacuzzis and doing all...
That's unknown.
Yeah, but the can say it's open underwater, we can't breathe. You can't breathe on Mars either. You know? So it's like, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
That's not proven yet.
It's not proven yet. Okay. But when will they prove it? Because they haven't proven about living on the moon yet, which is the closest. Why is it now Mars instead? Oh, I know. Because all these sci-fi movies were always attacked from Mars, never from the moon. Right? There's none about the moon attacking you. Right? I mean, someone might have come from somewhere else, stopped on the moon before they attack you, but they didn't originate there. But the Martians always originated on Mars. Then they attack.
Inherently evil. Martians are inherently evil.
Inherently evil. Now, what's to say if you go to Mars, you won't be inherently evil, and then they'll come back and attack Earth? But then there must be also the concept that now they're coming from Mars, they're coming to Earth, but then they take all this stuff from here back to Mars, right? So it must be Mars is better. Otherwise they just come to Earth, kick everybody out, and take over. You know?
Mars is better, so we go there.
Okay, yes, and then we'll go there.
Take their stuff, come back, then...
Payback.
Payback, yeah.
Yeah, revenge.
Remember the 50s.
Maharaj, can we say that this desire to relativize Prabhupada, Shastra, etc. is actually a desire to take the position of the founder of Acharya, because
yeah, just the controller and enjoyer. I wouldn't even think that people even think that far. Because who knows what the founder of Acharya is? How many can actually explain it? It's just, he started the society. Okay.
He registered it.
Yeah, he registered it. So therefore, then he's the founder of Acharya. Which he did do, and therefore, yes, he's the founder of Acharya. But he's the founder of Acharya, ISKCON, meaning ISKCON acknowledges and understands his position as founder of Acharya. Otherwise, Bhaktisiddhanta is the founder of Acharya of that. Jiva Goswami is the bishop of Vaishnava Raja Sabha, but actually it's founded by Rupa Goswami. But then, you know, Lord Chaitanya actually gave it. And, you know, so you can keep on going. So, so many, you know, it's just like, the, you know, I saw it was the founder of ISKCOWP, you know, he started the cow protection, so he's the founder, you know, and like that, or Rupa Vrindavan had his founder. And it's kind of like, it's so cheap. You know, anybody, you just start something, you're the founder. So, you know, it's like, what do you call it? I saw this political cartoon after the communist government fell in Russia, and then all the different countries were what do you call it, breaking off. And so there's this one, it was on, you know, the it was a goof on the American one of, you have that farmer husband and wife standing in front of their house with a pitchfork. You know, like that, you know, they're supposed to be like the, you know, archetypical, you know, American who went out and did something like that. So they had a picture of them and their house, and next to that was this huge billboard. You know, it said to it that the sovereign country of, you know, whatever it is, Mrs. Farm. You know, so it went down to, you know, it's going to get down to that, you know, and then, you know, yeah, so. Yes.
In a history of religion, we usually can observe this, when people try to, we call it in religion study, we call it secularization of religion.
It's call it the?
Secularization.
Okay.
Of religion, and in every tradition, it usually started by people who don't like idea that people should be for religion, and the idea religion should be for people. It was started by Pharisees and the false followers.
Yeah. Well, it's always a thing you're trying to bring to the people. So like you said, the Jews and the Pharisees did that with the Christians, and Paul did that. You know, and then it's a standard thing. Yeah, because they're doing for the public and all that, because you want to please the public. So all it is that they're attached to those things, they want to maintain those things, so if everybody does it. Because that's one thing, is that you don't want to wear these clothes, you want to wear something else, just wear it. But you feel insecure, because you're the only one wearing it, and others will look at you in a funny light. But if you make a philosophy where everyone should be wearing it, now I can be comfortable. I can wear it and be, you know, happy. In fact, you know, I'm the cutting edge of it, so I'm the best. You know, so it's a problem. You know, because that's the whole point, is that the value is the secular rather than, you know, the acharyas. They're more worried about what the Romans will think than what, you know, Moses or Abraham or Isaac or, you know, Jacob, what they'll think. They don't care about what they'll think. What they care about is what the common Roman, who couldn't care less about the Jews, right? You know, what they think. And only when they feel that, you know, okay, the Jews aren't so bad. But they never think that. They always think they're bad. Means they do nothing, they're bad, and then they become, you know, zealots and go and fight and, you know,
how do you say, you know, try to, you know, murder people and stuff like that, or assassinate, actually, give it a better, you know, assassinate, there's some purpose, you know. And all this, then they're worse. So they never get better, but if you just change it, then they're Romans. And then Romans happen to be, you know, what do you call it? Jews, but are Jews following Christ, so they're Christians, and they still hate the Jews. So that means the Romans didn't like the Jews. The Romans rebelled, they liked them even less. Jesus came along, they still didn't like him. Right? Then they become, you know, the Christians and all that, they still don't like him. But then when it becomes part of Roman culture, then now they like, you know, in this form, but they still hate the Jews.
Nobody likes Romans.
Hmm?
Nobody likes Romans too.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. Yeah, right there.
Nobody likes anybody.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah,
no one likes anybody.
Yeah, it's like Kavichandra Maharaj once he told me, you know, how he was brought up in America. And he said, my mom, she was really good preacher. She said about all the neighbors, you know, these black people are bad, the Jews are bad, this bad, everybody was bad. And then he said, and what do you expect from me? I'm from that kind of...
Yeah.
So I'm like a cactus, you know, like...
Cactus, yeah, anything comes along.
Because she actually told him all these things.
Yeah.
And he wasn't happy about it, but he couldn't argue.
Yeah.
So the point that Mataji makes also, religion is for people. It sounds great,
yeah.
But it's completely wrong, because religion is for God.
Yeah.
Then the people being part of that, mm-hmm. they get their share, and then they're happy.
Yeah.
But if you take out God and then make it like that, then it loses its substance.
Yeah.
So this is, although it actually, it sounds really...
That's the thing, really, it always sounds good because the modes make it sound good. Mm-hmm. As Mataji said, if you look at the history of all the religions, then at some point somebody does this and secularizes it, and then you see all the problems start.
But communism was also done for the people,
mm-hmm.
by the people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But I don't think it was of the people.
Chosen people.
Hmm?
Chosen people. Of chosen people.
Yes, of chosen people.
By the people.
Yeah, but see now if they had made it that when it said the chosen people, then if they had brought from a different area, it might have worked out better. Because, see, as if you kill 30 million people, that means there's less people to make money off of. You know? So then, you know, you would have made everything very prosperous and this and that, and in this way. But, you know, whatever. So that the aspect here is then, you know, as we were saying, proper, you know, application of it, the proper following, then it makes it work. You make your own up, it won't work. Yes?
Well, I should remember 21 years ago you gave a very nice comment, an explanation of this shloka, and you explained here also that apadrani means a gentle, and if we will purify our heart, we will become gentle.
Oh, okay. Which word?
Apadrani.
Oh, yes.
And you also gave a very interesting explanation why we, till the end, we will be attached to the wealth and women. Because I remember...
Wealth and
women?
Oh, okay. Yes, by Prabhupada said.
Yes, because Mataji was not so much, believe, and he said that women also are... attached to women, but by position, by feeling that we are women. And
yes, yes. Also, Prabhupada mentions in the lectures that the point of Purusha and Prakriti is that means that you have a natural form where the men, that's Purusha, and the women, that are Prakriti. So they see that the men, they as will enjoy the women. But he also said, because everyone thinks like that, the women have the mentality of Purusha, that they'll enjoy the men. So therefore then it's always going to that mundane position of trying to be the controlling enjoyer. It matches just, you know, he's meant to, some are dressed as men, some are dressed as women. So he meant dress meaning the body. You know, but at the same time as you could take it and, you know, seeing the future. Yeah. So yes, you get like that. But I'm amazed, you know. I don't even remember what I had for lunch yesterday, but you can 21 years ago, it's like that.
Many times I repeated your lecture, this explanation to us, that what is the goal of general way to understand.
Oh, okay, well that's good. Thank you. Okay, and then, so this whole point is he cleanses the desire, but because he's reciprocating, because it's his energies, and we're his energy, therefore he's in control of the energies. We have our free will. We put our effort into material things. Then according to our effort, you know, the quality of our effort, we'll get results. So if we put our effort into trying to please him and be engaged in his activities and not be engaged, interested in the material, then he'll remove the material desire. We can't remove it. We can desire that it's removed, but we actually can't remove it ourselves. You know, just like we may desire to be a billionaire, but we're not the ones producing the results. It's dependent on our work. You know what I'm saying? And that work is then defined by Krishna, not us. So that's the difficulty with the secular, is that individuals get together and say, wouldn't it be great if it was like this? And it sounds great, but in reality, it doesn't work. Where has it worked? Where is that liberal society that's going along and still working? And we should look at the Romans. I mean, the Greeks, they were considered, means what goes on today and all these social things, it was going on back then. So they were very liberal, but, you know, I mean, that means they basically didn't want them to join the EU because they were the poorest country in Europe. And not only that, once they joined, they almost tanked the EU, you know. Because they're just so much into sense gratification and this and that, it doesn't matter what, that they can't do any, you know, serious work. You know, so they can't get anywhere. So it's you know, from this greatest society to one that, you know, to the origin of, or the roots or the of Europe, to Europe doesn't want to have anything to do with them. So that's the fun part. So if you look at it, any civilization that goes in that direction collapses. So why would religion get better when you use the same techniques that collapses a civilization? Because civilization is based on certain values and norms. You bring in this secular thing, it collapses. So why would religion be any different? So when the norms are given by Krishna, it remains. And as soon as you give that up, it starts to fall apart. Yes?
One philosopher, I think it was Spengler, he wrote the book that every civilization will be collapsed after the rise in the knowledge. He tried to tell that all civilizations were destroyed by knowledge, and that knowledge is a problem.
Yeah, because if you check it, it means like you check today. You go there and research, and you know what the meerkats are doing, you know, in Africa. If you go back in history and that 1,000 years ago, they're doing exactly the same thing. You go back millions of years, same thing. So then they have the solid thing because that here's the example. There's no more knowledge. Society stays.
There's that poem that goes, thought would destroy their paradise, when ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. So that's the basis of...
Yeah, so they have these things. But it's like the impersonalists. The impersonalists see that all the things that people go after really actually causes trouble. So then they give up everything. So here's just one more extreme, you give up knowledge. So, you know, you end up as a Buddhist. Because that's the only, you know, extreme. Everything goes, even the knowledge. Because ultimately, even for the Maya bodies, the knowledge goes. They have to give up the knowledge. So it's just, you know. So, The point is anything not used in connection with Krishna will destroy. And everything used in Krishna will, nourish. So that's the thing. Things only have their value when it's connected to Krishna. They are not virtuous on their own. Nothing is virtuous on its own other than its connection to Krishna. You know, people can say otherwise, think otherwise, profess otherwise, but it doesn't matter. That is the fact. That is the fact. Because you see, is that it's interesting that those who are more conservative, they're comfortable with data. Because the results of the data are more in line, you know, with the information and ideas and values that they have. But you'll see as the more left it goes, they don't want to see data. Actually, not at all. You bring up data in a conversation, you know, in a discussion, they don't want to hear it. They'll say a bias is this and that, unless it's good for them. They'll make their own data, choosing just a few things like this. You know, it's like you go into the worst part of the place and go to there and study there, and then make that as a generalization, see how bad it is for the, you know, like that. So it's not a, so that's the thing, is that knowledge is the point. And you see is because knowledge means as a standard. And then you have to adjust to that knowledge. Because the point is the knowledge is the way it is. So they want to change that. So therefore you see is that they're constantly rewriting history. You know? Now is who was the founding father of the country. Now is a bad guy because he doesn't fit in line with the political correct position. You know? But at the same time as he tried to take it too far, just as seeing something that they made some new movie about, they call it the Woman King, I think it's what it's called. So it was the men or something like that because of the wars, you know, on the slavery and all that, then they couldn't maintain certain things because they're always out. So the women had to be trained to fight and protect the kingdom. But what is left out in the movie is that they were slave traders themselves. That's why there were wars. They were fighting over who has the monopoly over the slave trade. It means the Africans themselves amongst the tribes are fighting over who has the biggest, best control of the slave trade. Then they're selling to the Europeans. It means that they sold to the Europeans. You know, it's just like you go to Newmarket, you're looking for something, but there's a guy that comes up to you and, you know, Doti, Sadi, change money. You know, it's like, so it's not that the from the Ottoman Empire and others that they went down there looking for slaves. They happen to be there getting something else, and then a guy comes up, hey, need some slaves, you know, like that, you know, that kind of thing. You know, and then, you know, then the start, you know, okay. You know? So, Then the whites were coming in, and because they were trying to get control in the things like that, but they're pointed out that they're the bad guys, and so then this, you know, the woman king is protecting against the white guys who are coming in the slavery, and they're the good guys. But what's not mentioned is that their tribe, their, you know, nation were slave traders. And they were the ones selling them to the whites. That's completely left out of the way. It looked like it's all the whites' fault, and they're just protecting their own place without, you know, like that. So it comes under a huge amount of flack. The box office just bombed. Because it's just, it has nothing to do with reality. You know? And so it just went south. So as you go into these things, things will fall apart. So that's the thing. You change the knowledge, and then you change that. So it's not that the knowledge itself, they're not using the knowledge based on real knowledge. So actually what causes problem is material knowledge. The spiritual knowledge doesn't create. And when you see the material in the context of the spiritual, then it has a value. In other words, spiritual knowledge is virtuous. Material becomes virtuous when it's in contact with, just like copper becomes electrified when in contact with to generate. So then we see here Krishna cleanses the heart. So then that's the point. So we surrender to Krishna, we ask him to do it. It's not by some other process. Right? Vriti. After the removal of anartas from the heart by the mercy of the Lord, a devotee who constantly engages himself in the service of both the scripture and personified Bhagavatam becomes steady in his practice of bhakti. This is explained in the next Anucheda. Anucheda 13. Nasta prayesh vabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome for the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.18, footnote 4, translation by His Holiness Bhanuswami. As the impediments to bhakti become generally destroyed by constant service to the devotees in Bhagavatam, the stage of nishtha bhakti to Bhagavan, who is praised by the greatest sages, becomes established. As he's just bringing out that you become established in the platform of nishtha, but because the point is you become stable. That's the important point, it becomes stable. But that platform happens to be called nishtha. Right? It's not that it's a higher beast. How a Prabhupada is translating is the point, because that's what you're trying to do, is become stable in Krishna consciousness. It's not about, you know, the positions like that of knowledge. It's that when you become stable, that's naturally this position. When you develop a taste, that becomes ruchi and attachment like this. So it's about the effect of it is the important thing. And then you have technique, how you deal.
Was nishtha defined as yesterday? It was firm faith or something?
Firm faith. Nishtha is firm faith. It means having faith is just someone who sees that, you know, that Krishna and the devotees are something, you know, nice in that. So even what we call friends of Krishna or well-wishers, they have faith because there's that much. But it's not enough when they take up serious sadhusanga. Mm-hmm. So those who have faith that are deeper take up sadhusanga, then very quickly they take up vajra kriya. Like that. So it's just a matter of how much is there. But when you say firm faith, means, as defined by Chaitanya and Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the firm faith is when you see no other process other than devotional service is important. Anything else only has its value in its support of devotional service. That's then firm faith. That's the position of Nishtha, and that's what's talked about here. So almost all that is troublesome in the heart is almost completely destroyed. Mm. Right, because it's not at nishtha, it's not completely destroyed, but it's almost. Prabhupada right. Says 75%. You know, so you're dealing with 25% that's left. It's enough that you become stable and steady, and you're focused and this and that. So these other things, they're there, but they're not so prominent. Some sense. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart, which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of the Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavatas, namely the book Bhagavata and the devotee Bhagavata. Both the Bhagavatas are competent remedies, and both of them, or either of them, can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavat is as good as the book Bhagavat, because the devotee Bhagavat leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavat, and the book Bhagavat is full of information about the personality of Godhead. Notice how it goes that way. It keeps going one way. It doesn't go, you know, there's the book Bhagavat, then it's about the, you know, like that. It's about the three personality with his associates. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, it's all in one line. So this thing is, you know, Prabhupada by Shastra, Shastra by Prabhupada. No, it's relative. It has to go in one way. Does that make sense? Because it has to center on Krishna. And the book Bhagavat is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavats. Bhagavat book and Bhagavat person are identical. The devotee Bhagavat is the direct representation of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So, by pleasing the devotee Bhagavata, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavata. Human reason fails to understand how by serving the devotee Bhagavata or the book Bhagavata, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. So that's why here, human reason fails, because that's secular. Secular means human reasoning. You know, we're humans, and therefore, as humans, we should do like this, and work together, and everything like that. But it fails to understand that he can't. By serving the devotee Bhagavata, the book Bhagavata, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. Because the devotee Bhagavata, you don't want to go too far, because the institution is more important. Right? And at the same time, the book Bhagavata, you know, we have to, you know, interpret it in context of the secular, of what's going on around us, because the secular karmi, you know, lechas and yavanas are, you know, just so more important than the Bhagavats, right? So we elevate the lechas and yavanas and bring down the Bhagavats, rather than see it how it's in line with Krishna, and then that way also how these lechas and yavanas can be brought up and connected with Krishna. Like that. So it's the wrong approach. So this secular approach then is what has made a mess out of anything else. But actually, these are facts explained by Srila Narada Deva, who happened to be a maidservant's son in his previous life. The maidservant was engaged in menial servant of the sages, and thus he also came into contact with them, and simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of foodstuff left by the sages, the son of the maidservant got the chance to become the great devotee and personality Srila Narada Deva. These are the miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavatas. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by sincere association of the Bhagavatas, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavatas, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavata therefore have to be received from the devotee Bhagavata, and the combination of these two Bhagavatas will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.18 purport. Yeah, so this receiving transcendental knowledge, so that if you've seen the problem is mundane knowledge, but that doesn't mean knowledge is bad. The principle is that then therefore go for transcendental knowledge. Because otherwise you throw out knowledge, then how do you know anything? Because this guy's writing a book on knowledge, so that means also he's just adding to the problem. Because he's giving knowledge, so he's also the problem. You know, like that. So then, because from that, then people will throw out the knowledge and now start to fight with each other. It'll just get worse. No? So the thing is they have to move to transcendental something.
Yes, Mahaprabhu manifested that lila when Jagat Mishra wouldn't let him go to the school. And then he was, he was creating mischief, and then he was sitting on a pile of broken pots. Mm-hmm. And then he Sachimata came.
Yeah. Yes, he came.
How am I supposed to know the difference if I don't learn?
So he was playing, but also there's a lesson for us that, yeah, by ignorance you can't achieve anything, but knowledge should be proper, because Jagannath Mishra's point was that, you know, he's studying but doesn't do any good for him. But Anyway, it was really sweet.
Yes, no, it's very nice. Very nice. So you can see is that this is the point, is the transcendental knowledge learned from the transcendental mind. That's going to give. Because otherwise we see here is that saying the material is causing problems, so therefore then ignorance is bliss. But that doesn't necessarily work, because we haven't seen that those in ignorance are necessarily that blissful, you know? And then also that this difficulty means that the knowledge is not, you know, I mean, my body say through knowledge you'll be free. You know, the Germans said by work you'll be free. You know, so you have all these different aspects, but they don't work. So it's only by transcendental knowledge heard from the Bhagavatas you apply that the application that gives you freedom.
Since this philosopher's family, he said this point because he gave examples of knowledge which was given in the Western philosophy during the last two millennia.
Century.
Millennia. I mean, 2000 years.
2000 years.
And in this line, all the philosophers usually fight with each other, and one was on the pre-actual level, second on the level of anumana, and they just discussed who of them are better. And he said that because those who are anumana philosophers, they called it rationalism philosophy. And he told, and according to him, it's the most knowledgeable science, anumana. And that's why he thought, but he can see that results of the is very always are very on the giver's suffering. So that's why he rejected.
Right. No, that's there, you can see. But what's the solution? Because the solution is not ignorance.
They never heard about suffering.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that they'll see things, they'll become skeptical. So if someone like that you bring to them and say, so therefore it's about transcendental knowledge, and then they take it up, they take it seriously, then you can see, okay, this person's actually looking for a solution. But if not, then he's just a Muni who has his own thing. You know, because everybody's saying this and that and fighting, and then after a while the guy on the side says, well, actually, you're both wrong, it's actually this. And then it's, huh? And then he becomes the celebrity. So you have to see is what do they actually want? Because otherwise so many people come out and agitate about this and that, but when you give them the actual solution, do they take it or no? They just want to go on in their agitation, because otherwise then that gives them taste. It's about agitation, it's not about
solution.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you go and burn down so many businesses, you burn the buses, you get rid of all the police. Did it help the blacks at all? What did it do for blacks? In fact, when the crime rises, the ones that are hit the worst are the blacks. So what did it do? It's just something to agitate, that's all. And when they can't agitate that anymore because people point out the fault there, then they'll agitate something else, you know? My son wants to be a girl who's actually a pumpkin, who's actually a boy, who's, you know, Batman on Sunday. You know, so then it's, you know, then they agitate over that. And so it's just a matter of they're agitated, they want to be agitated. They don't want a solution, they just want to be agitated, because when they feel that they have some value in their life, I have a cause, you know. But at the same time, as they don't, you know, because the cause is it's illusion. They don't do anything with it. It's just to get out there and something's good. So the only thing is transcendental knowledge. There is no solution to material problems except for transcendental knowledge. You look back, it was better before, because people were more religious. They had more respect of religion and more respect for authority, all these things that come from religion. But they want this wonderful society without religion, but then what they do to make this society is break down everything that religion added. And when they break that all down, what's left is a total mess that they actually can't do anything with. You just have to come in and clean the slate. You just have to move all those people to the side and say, don't make any trouble, and then those who know what to do can put it together. And then when it's working, try to integrate these people in and you re-educate them on how to do it. And they'll say, oh, this is brainwashing, but that's all that they do. You know? In other words, people's brains are fine, they try to wash them. That's not useful. But when your brain is dirty, then a good wash is, you know, valuable. So the problem is saying, they're saying we're brainwashing, and Prabhupada's point was is their brain needs washing, you know.
I enter in that book. He says that it's actually a good idea to wash that dirty brain, but he went even further. He said that most people don't have a brain to wash. But then he said, but he immediately gave solution. And it's so brilliant. He said, but you start chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna will give you a transcendental brain. So no problem. Just chant.
And it comes already washed.
And it's pure.
Yeah.
Because it's coming from Krishna. Yeah. So he said, well, you know, whoever you are, just chant and then everything will fall into its own place. Yeah, another devotee also made a nice point that if you take a space and there's no center, then you can put center anywhere. And then, of course, different people will put center and then it creates chaos. But if we put Krishna in the center, then everything else will fall into its own place.
Yes.
So we need that point that Krishna is in the center. Then it's natural, but otherwise everybody's, this is why the situation is like that. Everybody's trying to put...
That's the things you relativize, because they don't want Krishna to be the center, or Prabhupada's instructions to be the center. You have to make a secular element as the center. So it's like that, so that they're having faith in the modern, you know, ideas.
Which one? That one that I mentioned? Oh, okay.
Where is that?
From St. Augustine.
Oh, okay.
Made that same point.
Okay.
So we follow the parampara.
Yeah. Yeah, because it says that's there. So, you know, Prabhupada gives the example of the one single rock in the pond, then the rings go out perfectly. They're no problem at all. We throw many. So that's the thing, is that having this idea that Krishna is in the center and you bring in so many other considerations, that it will be perfect. But then the point is as they break, you take Krishna out, and then you have so many of these other things that are making trouble. So now that you have to get rid of the trouble, because our purpose is to make a one single concentric thing. So where is that single concentric thing? It's around whoever is making this philosophy. Who's removing, you know, all the boundaries caused by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. You remove those, then now it's a mess. Now you have to make it not a mess, so you have to bring it around themselves. Hence the absolute nature of, you know, the leadership. Just because they said it, you have to follow it. But we don't have dogma. Only when you add the secular, you get dogma. Or they're too sentimental and fanatic. There's no philosophy. So remove the philosophy, you know, then you get the sentiment. Then you can present dogma, because the sentiment, people will buy it. But that means that you have to create a new religion. You know, because we're... It means the majority of people on the planet are all, you know, first world, right? You know, because that's... And only they're the real important ones. And that means, you know, means America, but that doesn't mean anyone vote for Trump, so that means you get rid of half of America there. You know, and we're not talking about this one or that one. So we're only talking about a few people that sit in, you know, Boston or in UCLA or, you know, a few things like that. And, you know, a few other people. And they're the substance. So, you know, take a handful of people and then make them the center.
And the funny thing, they don't really care about you.
No, they don't care about you at all. It means if you agree with them, then they won't give you trouble. But they'll never care about you. Since when? When do they care about you? Since where in the history have they ever cared? Right? Where's the list of black people that got benefit from that whole movement? You know? You don't hear about it. No one's talking about what great work they did and this. No one's talking about it. Because they don't. It's just an agitation. They're frustrated, and so they agitate.
So, but in the current religions, they didn't have philosophy, they only had a religion. And, but the idea was that what should be in the center.
Yes.
Because they didn't have philosophy, they took a philosophy of Aristotle. Right?
Yes.
Aristotle's philosophy was that center should be in the nature.
Nature.
Yes, because God is so much fire.
Yeah, also he started this whole mess.
Yes, it was started by humans. Then it became a deism, and then we invented it. But it started from Aristotle. And because the previous philosophy that nature should be in the center, finally religion was destroyed.
Yeah, that's what you see this here. You're going, you know. It's just the same pattern. You see the same patterns being followed. It's nothing new. But it's always thought that it's new and fresh, but it never is new and fresh.
Yeah, in Panchopasana, it's the lowest level.
Yeah.
When you worship
nature is the lowest.
Nature means Durga in her like lowest form.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is there. People still follow, but it's not like.
But they all consider that Aristotle is the greatest authority in philosophy and he's a father of civilization.
Yeah, but it's interesting how it shifted to him. Because when I went to school, Socrates was the father of Western philosophy.
They consider that Socrates and the Plato were idealist, means they
weren't practical, yeah. But when I was the practical, because they had the dialogues, they ran the school, they actually, you know, had substance like that. And then I think it shifted to Plato sometime after when I was, you know, learning. And now it's shifted to Aristotle. You know? But it'll always be a problem until it finally, you know, gets to Alfred E. Newman. Then at that point, some stability might come about. No? Because at least there's a consistency, right? No?
You don't know what's his philosophy.
It's a little bit mad.
Yeah.
Mad?
Mad. You know, as in the magazine.
Let me worry.
Yeah, he's the mascot. So, it's just going to... It's just the same thing over and over and over again. So that's the thing. They don't have the philosophy. We have the philosophy. Why take an atheistic philosophy? It's creating so many problems. Well, why not take a theistic philosophy? Because you see the theistic philosophy, those who accept it as it is, and no matter where they are in the world, no matter what their background, no matter what culture they're from, they all agree. But as soon as you bring in the secular kind of aspect, then you're going to have a fighting. You know what I'm saying? And so it's always going to be that. Because you can say, oh, but in the movement, that's because they're using the secular approach. So those who are using it, they're the cause of the fighting. And they're fighting with others that have different things. So you can all get together as all those with the same kind of lack of appreciation of authority. They can all be together. You know, it's just like you don't like authority, you know, and so you use the academic, but you'll tolerate the Ritviks because they don't like authority either. And so then they can be together, you know, or the Acropolians, you know, then they also don't accept the, you know, that kind of, you know, the Shastra and Prabhupada, and this, it's just, you know, our feelings are the authority. And so then you have these things, they can bind down together, but at the same time, as if it gets down to, okay, now, you know, I say, now it's every man for themselves, you see, they'll kill each other. Because the Ritviks, at least it's about Prabhupada and what he said, and they'll fanatically be about that, but they don't know how to understand it. The other one is, oh, it's all relative, so they'll kill each other. You know, right there, you know. And then the academics, they'll stand on the side and they're both wrong because they're the only ones that are right. And so, you know, it's only when there's a common enemy then they'll be, you know. Why is it their one name? No, LBG, or the LGBTQIA
plus.
And the IA is not for artificial intelligence here. Right? And it's plus, and that's just how many. It originally just had, well, there was one name. Then it came into four, and it went for a year. But then they just had to keep adding. They put the plus. It was LBGT plus. Then they had to put one letter plus. Then the second letter plus. Now it's the third letter plus. And give it some time, and they'll find there'll be more. It's just that at some point, you know, why don't they just say L plus?
You know? Just plus.
Hmm? Yeah, just leave the plus.
Just plus. Yeah, plus.
But, yeah. The Jews won't take it because plus is like a cross.
Oh.
So they don't use that.
That's true.
They use.
Yeah. Really? In math, they use that.
They use the T.
Of course.
Oh, that's so
funny. You could all lose it back.
That's actually ironic because actually, when they hung Jesus, it was probably like that. Because they had it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't cross. It wasn't cross.
Yeah, because the way they would have to do it actually would nail you to the.
No, but they had a pole.
Horizontal piece, and then they put the
pole. Yeah. And then this was just a little bit below that.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well,
because
how can that's
the way I said. There's another theory. It was just a pole.
Probably like that, not like
okay. That. Yeah, because they're going on, but at the same time, so if you do, because if you put here, then there's going to be the problem that it could wiggle. Yeah, right. If you do that kind of
that
and put it into each other, because they built the things before.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because you dig a hole and then you put them on, then you lift it up. Because if you just pick it up, it won't be as much problem as if you go from one and put it in the other. Because when it gets to the hole, it'll also drop.
Yeah.
You know. So I mean, it's a lot more fun. You know? Plus, it's reusable. You know, the other one, then you have to take it apart again.
It's
so much trouble.
Friendly.
Yes, it's ecologically friendly. So you build proper crosses that you can because it's also called crucifixion.
Although
it's a cross.
I heard it wasn't all of that.
Unless it was crucifixion, then the crustacean or something. And originally it was a large lobster, so it had nothing to do with wood or anything. They just brought these monster lobsters and tied you onto them, and then as they moved around, it was really a problem. Yeah. No. No one's buying that one? Okay.
Too wild. It's too wild.
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.